Welcome to the Testimony Podcast, people of faith telling the stories that matter from their lives. I'm your host, Andrew Chamberlain, and I'm delighted that you can join us for this conversation. You can subscribe to the Testimony Podcast on all of the major podcast distributors and follow us on Twitter at TestimonyCast. Hello and welcome to episode 38 of the Testimony Podcast. This is going to be the last podcast that I release in this series for a while. The podcast is going on hiatus, but these episodes that I've already recorded will still be available in the future. My guest for this episode is Gloria Knight. Gloria came to know Jesus through being taken to church by neighbours, but rebellious teenage years led to drugs and single parenthood on welfare benefits in one of the worst neighbourhoods in San Francisco. The shock of seeing a friend killed by an overdose made Gloria decide to come off the drugs and join the Jesus movement. She ran away from one bad marriage and ended up in Minnesota at a wonderful church before eventually settling in Louisiana. Fear and bereavement have driven her to seek God, to be close to Him and to shelter in Him. And in this episode, Gloria shares the lessons that it has taken her a lifetime to learn, lessons we all need to take to heart. This is her story. Gloria, welcome to the Testimony Podcast. It's great to have you as my guest today.
Well, thank you very much, Andrew.
So I want to start by asking if you could share a little bit about your background, your life, the things that you want to share with us about your story so far.
Well, I guess in the beginning, when I was a child, my father was in the Navy. And I lived in different parts of the country because I'm from the United States. And I live now in Shreveport, Louisiana. When I was 6 years old, my father was stationed at San Diego, California. And I just remember as being a small child that I had neighbors. And they attended church, and they always invited me, and that's how I knew God. Mother and father were not churchgoers. They did not attend church. So it was just through people who took me to church that I learned to know who Jesus was.
Okay. And you were, what, six-ish or something like that?
Six years old.
So roughly when would this have been? What sort of... Yeah.
What year? That would have been 1952.
Okay. So a few years after the end of the war. And what happened sort of after that? How did things go for you in the years after that?
Well, I just wanted to say that, you know, while I was in California,
yeah,
you know, we had God in school.
Okay.
I mean, we had, you know, they did devotionals and read the Bible, and we stood up and pledged allegiance to the flag. That doesn't seem to go on much anymore. So, but I just, you know, remember those times, and I remember God's presence very, very strong.
Okay. Well, maybe we can talk about that in a moment. Maybe we can talk about examples of where you felt the presence of God, you know, that can certainly be from when you're a child. So is there anything you want to say about later on in life at all?
Well, of course, you know, I had my years when I was kind of rebellious. My mother and I, we didn't really get along. And there was sibling rivalry with my sister. I always felt my mother favored her. I had my brother, but it didn't seem like he was around much when he was a little bit older than I was. He went to work when he was 12 years old.
Wow.
In a grocery store. So I didn't really see him much.
So when he was 12, he got a job in a grocery store, and that was his job then. So he left school and went to do that.
Well, he was still going to school.
Okay.
You know, he did finish school. And when he married, he was the first to be married, and he was in the Navy. He followed my father's example.
Okay. But so he went into the Navy. Yeah.
Yeah. He went into the Navy, but he didn't retire like my father did. He just did his first hitch, and that was it.
So what happened with you then after that?
Well, like when I was 12, I had some rebel issues. I didn't get along with my mother, and there would be harsh words spoken, and I always had that guilt of that, and I carried it, you know, and also issues with my sister, and I never understood it I never understood why those things even had to be.
Mm.
But, you know, and my father, and I was like 17 when he retired. And then I was pretty rebellious. I did some drugs earlier, but I never really got addicted to any drugs. And I also drank, but mostly that was just out of rebellion.
Mm. So what happened to you later on then in life, maybe when you were kind of finishing your teens and into your 20s, what happened then?
I got pregnant, and my mother pretty much told me I had to leave home.
Right.
And that's when I went to San Francisco. And that's when I really knew my brother cared about me, because he just really felt my mother just threw me away.
Mm.
But now you don't throw a 20-year-old away.
No.
I was overwhelmed that he felt that way.
Yeah. So what did he do for you? How did he show his love for you?
He just stood up for me against my parents when they did that. But I didn't really know much about that. My mother kind of shared that with me. And I didn't know that till later on in life.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things I didn't really know later on in life, because I don't know. I guess I just didn't feel my parents loved me.
Okay.
And I had a younger sister, and it just seemed that she was the favorite one. She was 5 years younger. And, you know, when a new baby comes, you know, the older one just kind of isn't the cute one anymore.
Yeah, yeah. So you ended up in San Francisco.
I did end up in San Francisco.
Wow. And when you were like 20 and pregnant.
Oh, yeah. And I want you to know, that was an experience. I mean,
it was.
I mean, things that went on there just churned my stomach, and I just couldn't even believe it. A lot of the homosexuality. I mean, that was kind of the first thing I encountered.
Mm.
and I was in the most horrific part of San Francisco. I mean, every day I would see winos. They wouldn't even look like they were alive. I'd be wondering if they were dead.
Did you have your baby there in San Francisco then?
I did. I did have him there in San Francisco.
How did you kind of cope? How did you find somewhere to live, or how did you survive it there?
Well, I just ended up first getting on welfare, what they told me to do. And that's pretty much what I did. And, you know, lived in horrific hotels. They were just horrible. And it was just around a lot of drug addicts. And I just really felt I left the frying pan and went straight into the fire.
Yeah.
I had had experiences like this at all. And yes, even though I was educated in high school about drugs, I just never knew what it really was and how horrible it really was. And I mean, it's just like I had a friend. I mean, this is really true. That I had a friend, and one day we were doing laundry together.
Mm.
The next day she was carted off in a death cart to the morgue.
Wow. And that was the drugs, was it, that got her?
That was the drugs. Yes, that was the drugs. And that's when I made up my mind I wasn't doing them.
Yeah. But and you had a baby as well, didn't you? I guess.
I had my baby. Yeah, I had him. And became involved with the church there. And they had the Jesus movement, because I was kind of a hippie.
Okay.
I was a hippie. And then they had, that was my family. That's who took me in, you know, pretty much.
The Jesus move. So, yeah, how did you get involved with them then in San Francisco?
Well, these are the hippies. These are the hippies
who
left the hippie movement and joined the Jesus movement. And they had places in Haight-Ashbury that were wonderful to live in. So I lived there for a while, you know. But then I met my husband, and he was a really bad man. He was abusive. And I was with him for, you know, quite a few years. I really think he would have been okay, but he was on drugs.
Right.
And I think, you know, and he was a different person. And I had briefly encountered him not being on drugs, and he was just a totally different person for that brief time. And he was on fire for the Lord, and then all of a sudden he becomes a monster again.
Yeah, and that was the drugs that changed him.
Yeah, it was a drug. Wow. It was the drugs. I he was a good guy when he wasn't on drugs, but. And I had been with him maybe up to 7 years, of course, and then we had another child.
Okay. So you had two kids at that point then?
So I had two kids at that point.
Yeah. So what years would this have been? Would this have been like in the 60s or when
you were married? Okay, this was the 60s in 1973.
Okay.
My child, Dust, was born.
Okay. So that was your second child, yeah?
That was my second child.
Okay. So what happened with this husband then? Did you leave him or did he?
I had to leave him. I had to leave him. And it was not an easy thing to do. I'm not talking emotionally. It was just he would hound me all the time and he would just bother me. But I had some people, this woman and her child, and she noticed how abusive he was. And she would just, she would just tell me, that I just had to leave him. Mm. That I just cannot stay with him because he could kill me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And okay. So
let's kind of move forward then from. You managed to leave your first husband, who was clearly an abusive
person.
So what happened then in your life?
Well, I moved to into the outskirts of San Francisco, a place called South San Francisco, which was not really a part of San Francisco. It was just another town and a kind of smaller community. But I don't know if I really... I didn't pray about much of anything, so I guess I don't even know if I knew where I was to be. That's when I started, confining in God about where I was really to be. And okay. I had a friend who lived in Minnesota. And I was fearful of my husband finding me. I was very fearful because when I moved to South San Francisco, somehow he found me.
Right.
And I don't even know how. He never did attempt to abuse me anymore. But right. And it's because I wasn't living with him either, I guess. I don't know really what it was. But he found me and, and his mother was wanting to get custody, of my youngest child. And I just called. And I guess that's what I was the most afraid of.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. Okay. So, did she manage to, or did you keep that child? Did you keep your child?
Oh yeah, we moved to, I moved to my friend who lived in Minnesota. Yeah. I moved there. I lived there for about a year or a year and a half. I guess I didn't want to tell my parents even where I lived because I was afraid they would tell them and that they would, I guess I was afraid she could get my child.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
okay. So you wanted just to be right away from it, didn't you? I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
I did.
Okay. And so what happened after that then?
Minnesota was wonderful. And I went to about the best church I ever attended in my life.
Wow. Can you tell us about that church then? What was good about that church?
Well, they just had a wonderful pastor and the Holy Spirit was just really moved on him. It was just a movement like I never saw before. And I saw the Jesus movement and that was a powerful movement, but this is a powerful movement too. And they had a wonderful group of single parents that met once a week, and that was just really wonderful, and they did things and they helped each other. You know, they painted people's houses and, and just different things. And that's where I really learned life is not about me. Because it was just really a blessing to do for somebody else.
So you helped other people in that group as well then?
I helped other people in that group.
That's great. That's great. Okay.
When I moved from Minnesota back to Shreveport, Louisiana, my mother and father, they put a down payment for me, a mobile home.
Okay.
And I moved there and I got a job and I was able to pay the notes on the mobile home.
So you were able to make the payments on it, and then you had your two kids, I guess.
And I had my two kids, and and life really just got to better, but I always missed that church. I always missed being there. It was just nothing like there to me. And so, but I am in a wonderful church now. It just really took me a long time to learn any kind of lesson. And I guess I was just, I had lost a job. And I guess I wasn't, relying on God to be my source. And so this man was interested in me, and I just married him for the wrong reason. Just for security.
Okay. Yeah. So did you get married again then?
I did.
Okay.
And it was the last time.
So that didn't work out well then either.
No.
Okay.
30 years now and still single.
Right. Okay.
And loving it.
sounds like you don't want to go there again, really.
Not really.
Okay. Okay. So let's talk about throughout your life then, maybe particular points where you felt that God has been really close to you. Can you think of an instance where you've really felt like God's been a close companion to you? Maybe you needed him because you were in danger, or maybe it was just a great time in your life, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course, he was with me during that time, when I had that fear that my husband and his mother were going to take my son away. And of course, I really relied on him. And that might have been the biggest fear of my life. I'm just close to God. I said, when I joined this church here, and I don't know if you've heard of Marilyn Hickey, but she, was on CBN. She was talking at the church and talking about Rhema word. She said, because in your spirit, there's only room for God and you. And I really realized that I could talk to God in my spirit, and it shut the devil completely out. And before that point, I was never able to do that. I was never able to shut him completely out.
So how did you manage to do that then? What do you do to help you come out?
I just got into my spirit, and there's only room for God in me. And that's I think the hiding place that Psalm 91 talks about. Because that's my psalm, Psalm 91, the psalm of protection. And protection from the devil is, you have to have protection from him because he's dangerous.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. So I mean, it sounds as if God has been a really essential source of protection and safety for you then in your life.
He has.
Can you think of any other specific times when you felt that God has been close to you?
Oh, I guess many, many times. I mean, I lost here in 2020. I lost my middle son, the one that...
Oh, okay.
That I talked about, and he smoked and he contracted lung cancer, and it took him away. It took him away from me. And that was a real, real challenge.
Yeah, I bet.
God was there. And I'll always be grateful. And I just don't even know how people could turn away from God in such an hour, because that would be my worst time to turn from Him.
So how do you feel God has supported you in that time of grief then, in that particular time of grief? How did you feel that God
was close to you? My son was close to God.
Okay.
He was closer to God than any child I ever had.
Right.
And and you know, and his father, you know, of course we had, it wasn't just always bad times. We kind of had, you know, good times when we were naming him, and he wanted to name him Dustin. And he wanted to name him Dusty. I said, well, I said, Dusty's kind of a nickname. Why don't we name him Dustin?
Yes.
And I thought that was okay. And then I said, well, and then I said, but I wanted to name him Daniel, because I was reading a lot in the book of Daniel. And that's my favorite book in the Bible is the book of Daniel.
Book. It's a great book, isn't it? Yeah.
Powerful book. It's supernatural. Yeah. Like none other.
Yeah.
And so this son, when he was like, I don't know, he wasn't even 30 years old, and he was going to this church, and he wrote this paper, and I just had no idea the impact that his name had, that anybody knew he was named after the prophet Daniel. And he said, and he read a lot in the book of Daniel. Well, that was the most he read in the Bible was the book of Daniel, because that was his namesake.
Well, that would make sense. Yeah.
and also he's pro-life. He was born in October 7th, 1973. In 1973, was when Roe v. Wade was passed. He was receiving, and he was receiving mail from this group called Stop Killing My Generation, a pro-life group. And he was, you know, receiving letters from them. And he just came up to me one day and he says, Mom, I want to thank you for giving me life. I said, well, yeah, I said, Dustin, I said, I was going to give you life. There was never an option for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, no, but Mama, you had a choice and you chose to give me life. And I'll always be grateful for that. And, you know, and he was just so with this pro-life group because, you know, because of the year he was born.
Yeah. Yeah, it is quite a year, isn't it? Yeah.
It was. Okay.
Can you think of any other time then when you felt like perhaps God has been close to you or Jesus has been close to you? Any specific instance?
I don't know. Just all my life, he's just been close to me.
Okay.
You know, and I just had to realize that I had to rely on him. And it just took so many years for me to really realize that. And then there's still times that I try to be gung-ho and do things on my own and they don't work out. And I pretty much know why they don't work out. So, you know, so being close to God is really, you know, the only thing that works.
Why do you think it takes you a long time, or it has taken you a long time to learn that lesson?
I have a stubborn spirit.
Okay.
It's a very stubborn spirit. And I think a lot of us have, but I can only speak for myself.
Yeah, well, I mean, other people can speak for themselves, but you can only speak for yourself, can't you, I suppose? Yeah. So is that as in you like to get your own way, or you like to have your own way, and maybe you don't listen to God so much, or what is that?
Well, there are times that I don't. But then God will always remind me, because when you're his child, things are different. You put yourself where he can correct you, and I just have to accept it. He's corrected me, and that's the way it has to be.
Yeah. Can't argue with God, can we, I suppose?
No, we can't. We can't.
Well, you can try, but it doesn't get you very far.
Oh, it does. No, it does not. Absolutely yeah. not.
Yeah, no, that feeling. Oh, man. So are there, would you say there were any really important or particular lessons that you've learned then in your life? Maybe we've kind of touched on this, but one or two lessons that you said, these are the most important things I've learned.
I guess letting God have his way. I have to just learn to let God have his way.
Even if that seems hard, which it does sometimes, doesn't it, I guess?
It does. It's very hard, but still, I know it's the best thing.
Mm. You talked about the church where there was a really, the pastor was a real blessing, and you were with some other people who were maybe single parents, and you guys were helping each other. What sort of lesson do you think you've learned from that time?
I guess how to be a giving person, because I think up to that point, life was about me.
Okay. So now I think you've also recently written a book, haven't you? Which kind of, it's a fictional book, but it has elements of your life in it.
It does have, and I think it's mostly my life in San Francisco. A lot of it is fictionalized. Yeah.
Okay.
And the age of who I was when I went to San Francisco is 16 years old, and I definitely was not 16 years old, but I thought that, but I did want to leave home when I was 16 years old. So I said, well, I said, what if I had left home when I was 16 years old, what it would have been? Well, I know that at 20 years old, it was horrific. So 16, it would have been worse.
It would have been, no 16-year-old should have to just kind of be leaving their family and going living on their own. I wouldn't.
No, did not.
That sounds crazy. So is that the first book you've ever written?
This is my first book.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So are you going to write any more? Are you going to write another one?
I'm writing two more.
Two more.
It's going to be a trilogy. I have finished the second one.
Yeah.
I'm just going through and polishing it up.
Wow.
And it's called Soul Wound. This is the first one is Soul Wound, the beginning. The second one will be Soul Wound, the revelation. And the last one will be Soul Wound, the ministry.
And if people want to find out about this book, how would they do that?
Well, I have a website.
Okay.
It's GloriaKnight.com, but I see if you put Heart to Heart in there, it will bring it up.
Okay.
Why that is, I don't know. But it just says GloriaKnight.com, Heart to Heart. Or just even put Heart to Heart, it comes up.
Okay. Yeah, I'm just looking at your website now. So it's GloriaKnight.com. Is it so? GloriaKnight.com.
That's right.
Wow. Cool. Okay. So is there anything else you want to say, Gloria? Anything else, any words of wisdom or anything like things you've learned or whatever before we finish?
I just hope that people just realize who Jesus is and the impact he can make on your life and the difference he can make. This is in my books. A few salvation experiences in there. This like my very own salvation experience, and probably salvation experience of my children, especially my child that I lost.
So there are, it's not an autobiography, but there's a lot of bits from your life or themes.
It is a lot of bits. I read fiction, so.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, write some fiction. There's some suspense in there too.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it looks as if there is, as you say, some suspense and tough lessons for your protagonist, I think. A tough time, looks like she has.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Give her a hard time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, she gave herself a hard time.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, there you go. There's a lesson there.
That's right.
Okay, then, Gloria, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you. All right.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Good to talk to you. God bless you. Thank you for listening to the Testimony Podcast. You can subscribe to the show on all of the major podcast distributors and also follow us on Twitter at TestimonyCast. If you want to find out more about the Christian faith and connect with someone to talk about your experiences or answer your questions, just go to www.christianity.org.uk from wherever you are in the world. You can also contact us by email at thetestimonycast@gmail.com. That's thetestimonycast@gmail.com. I look forward to sharing more of the stories that matter from people of faith with you soon. Until then, thank you for listening and God bless you.